everybody.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show, the big show, the most important and critically acclaimed podcast that is recorded in our vehicle. And today we are in the Hemi studio. That's right, the 8 cylinders of power studio. And I have a love for high-performance rear-wheel drive cars. And this time of year is when I pay for my love for high-performance rear-wheel drive cars. Last year, I was stuck because of the failure of my normal everyday driver, which was not a high-performance rear-wheel drive car. I was stuck driving my race car, my nearly 500-horsepower Mustang with all of the anti-slip and anti-skid and all that kind of stuff removed from the car so that it could do better burnouts and hook up on a drag track. And I was driving that in the ice and snow. This car is much better than that. This is totally beside the point. But there is ice and snow on the ground today. Not on the highway. That was yesterday. But, yeah. Anyway, welcome to the show, the big show. We've already got our
diversion out of the way.
And first, I need to... This is an unusual warning we're putting out on this podcast. We don't normally warn people. It will still be G-rated, because that's just how we roll. But we are going to be talking about a subject today that if you're squeamish, you might want to skip this one. And I'll tell you what it is. It's a human health issue. So it's not like it's disgusting. Well, okay, maybe a little disgusting, but it's not like it is,
obscene or anything.
No.
It's just...
But it's just, you know, you might be a little squeamish because we're going to be talking directly and succinctly about symptoms and about diagnostic things. And it's not going to be a pretty podcast. Now, you know, Spice and I were really big believers in being transparent and being open and honest about how, you know, we are, how our health is, how we're wired.
How we prep in a direct, applied to our personal situation kind of way.
Yeah. So that's part of what this is, because I'm infected right now. I'm very infected. I'm extremely infected.
He has bad tenants. He is struggling to get evicted.
Yes. I have bad tenants. I am trying to get evicted. I'm trying very hard for those little bacteria fellows to go away.
In fact, we called in the big posse yesterday.
Yes, we took a shot in the rump. And that's really what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about dealing with infection, because the type of infection that I got, and even more so, the virulence of the infection that I got. I mean, it hit. When it hit hard. If we were living with before antibiotics,
or temporarily without antibiotics,
I'd have been in trouble. I mean,
might have survived it, might not have.
Actual serious life-threatening trouble. This is for those people who are out there bashing modern medicine. I would be maybe on my deathbed today if it were not for antibiotics. This is not an exaggeration.
No, that's literal.
This is, I probably wouldn't today, I'd probably just be very sick today, but I might be heading toward my deathbed from this thing.
It would have been about deathbed time, almost.
I mean, the quickness of the onset of it and the severity of it, it was just like wham. So, if any of this has got you like, I think I'll pass, we've got a lot of other podcasts. You can go back and listen to some of the older ones. Although I'm going to take a second diversion and say, if you've never really gone back to the old ones, give it a month or two before you do, because I'm going back and I am fixing a lot of the audio that we had earlier. Our audio is much better now than it was then. And I'm truncating them, so I'm not removing content. I'm removing a lot of ums and ahs and blank gap spaces. Basically, when I truncate a podcast, it ends up about 5 to 7% shorter. But it makes it much more listenable. The pace is faster.
The recent ones. You've been doing that for 6 months or so now.
Yeah, the recent ones. So if you're used to, these will sound a little different than the original ones. So I'm going back there and, you know, as time permits, I'm fixing them and redoing their transcripts and stuff like that to a more accurate transcript. Okay. pressing right along. Let's talk about what happened to me this week. And I'm going to have to stop talking here pretty soon because I have a sore throat, which may or may not be related to my infection. Tangentially related. It's not directly related because I'm not having a throat infection. So I woke up yesterday morning. And by the way, squeamish people, now you should really be gone by now.
It's okay.
Okay.
They know.
She's not that bad. Like, what? But she's a pathophysiologist, and nothing is squeamish for her. Well, there's one or two things, which I will not mention, that totally freak her out. But we're not talking about those. But, you know, she's like, oh, it's no big deal. Yeah, it really, most people will find it. Most people will. Trust me here. You won't. You're like, eh, whatever. I've been maybe a little bit off my feed the last week. Maybe. Yeah, just under the weather. Not anything big. You know. Wednesday, I got off of work, and admittedly, I did drive 6 hours Wednesday, and driving that kind of hours and mileage is tiring, especially on the roads we drive on. We're not driving on these big, you know, 6-8 lane highways that, you know, you just go down the road. No, we're driving on roads that require you to keep a constant vigil for wildlife. It's a big deal.
Twisty two lanes, full of deer.
Yeah, twisty two lanes, hilly, full of deer. You really have to pay attention to what you're doing. There's no shoulder, whatever. So if you drop a wheel off, you're going into the ditch and probably rolling. So, you know, it's kind of dangerous roads, so you have to pay attention. So that wears you. But I was unusually tired Wednesday night, like hammered. Okay. Thursday, felt better. Got up, went to work. Normal. Friday morning, yesterday morning, which I was off work yesterday, I get up, and I'm feeling about normal. I walk into the bathroom, and I start to urinate. And I'm feeling a burning, like a serious, like, burning. And my urine is a little bit blood-colored. And I'm like, oh, this isn't good. And then I pass a blob, well, there's no other word for it, of mucus that was bloody. And I'm looking at that going, well, I'm thinking, Mr. Salty, you have a UTI. I've had this once before, several years ago. Not nearly as severe. So I talked to...
Urinary tract infection, UTI.
Yeah, urinary tract infection. Now, urinary tract infections are generally variable in how severe they are. They have multiple causes. Spice is going to get into that here in a bit. They can be anything from fairly moderate and easily self-correcting to extremely severe. I'm like, okay, well, that's bad. I guess I'm going to have to do the usual. I'm going to push the water. And they can happen. Obviously, I'm not a woman. They can happen in men and women. They're much more common in women, but they do happen in men quite a bit. I mean, it's not like it's an uncommon thing at all.
Especially older men.
Yeah, and I'm not a young man anymore. And I would assume that once I've had one, that tells me I'm susceptible.
Mm-hmm.
That's a guess.
Good call.
So anyway, but I don't feel like I'm quite empty. But anyway, I go back to sit down in my chair, talk to my doctor in-house, who's not actually
a doctor.
I am
not a physician. Yeah.
But she's my health person. She takes a look at the situation and she says, well, yeah, you probably... I'm like,
I hear so, the burning, and it's a UTI.
Yeah.
But most UTIs are relatively mild. Many of them would self-correct, but if they don't correct pretty quick, it's best to get them treated. So I suggest he wait for a few hours and see if it gets better. And if it doesn't, see the healthcare provider. The roads are nasty slick.
Here's the trick of the twister, though. It's snowing, and it's been snowing. After ice. So the roads are iffy. The roads are not good. She actually canceled her class and went virtual.
I did not.
Because she didn't want to go in. The roads were iffy enough that, you know.
We zoomed.
She zoomed the class. And they are set up to do that. So this is not like it's a huge, super ridiculous thing. But, you know, people know that if the roads are bad, she's going to do a Zoom class. Her students know that. So anyway. That's the condition. So I'm like, yeah, okay, maybe I should go see the... Now, we live in a small town where we have a medical clinic that's open 4 days a week. They're actually open the fifth day, but then there's no doctor there. There's no prescribing nurse there. So when we're looking at medical care, we're looking at urgent care in a town that's 25 miles away. Not a big deal, just letting you know the situation. So anyway, I go sit down in my chair, you know, check my email, do my morning stuff, and then I've got to go back to the bathroom. So I go back into the bathroom, and this time it was a totally different story. It was like peeing actual stream of blood and mucus. I mean, it was a mess.
They would have looked like blood clots if I didn't know what blood clots looked like. Instead, they looked like slime mixed with mucus.
Okay, this changes everything. This is, let's wait and see, too. Okay, you are going to the doctor, and you're going as soon as the roads are clear enough to get there. Long story short, after two or three more urinations, because I'm feeling this need to urinate. It's all part of the deal, and she'll explain this. I mean, I'm feeling like I'm not emptying, you know. So I get in my car, I drive myself over to the urgent care. I go in, I give a sample, which was, you know, a bloody mess, actually. It really was. I looked at that thing like, ugh. And the person looking at it, she kind of looked at the sample, and she said, yeah, I see why you're here. So I go in there. They run tests on my sample. This is stuff they can do right there in the office.
It's a dipstick test.
And the woman hands me, the doctor hands me the results of the test. And they are really bad. They're really bad. With one little caveat, they are bacterial. And that's a good thing. Because if they're fungal, that's not as good.
Yeah, if it's viral, you're kind of stuck.
Yeah, if they're viral, this could get bad. So, I get this big, long list of... And she says, this is pretty much bad across the board. So, they took the nuclear option. They gave me a great big, and it was a big shot of something or other. Whatever it is they give. I don't know what it was. It was an antibiotic.
Or combo thereof.
Or combo thereof. And... I mean, I could find out what it was, but if anybody's really, really, really curious, drop me a note via the email on this thing, and I'll find out what it was. But it's the one they commonly give for UTIs, because, I mean, it's obvious from the lab results this is an infection. They give me this in the butt, and she's like, okay, there's going to be a little bit of a sting. And I didn't even feel the needle. I mean, it was fine. And I'm like, wow, that was painless. And she kind of grimaced and said, well... That part was, yeah. You may feel a little bit of a burning sensation here in a bit. That's the lidocaine. And I'm like, that's the lidocaine? Okay, you're shooting my butt with lidocaine. Well, it's part of the deal. It's a buffer. Anywho, long story short, it did help. I'm already better. But I have started a 10-day...
I didn't bring the bottle. You did start.
I did start a 10-day regime of antibiotics.
And we'll have a few.
I will finish completely.
Mm-hmm.
And
no matter how he's feeling by then.
At this, yeah, no matter if I have no gut enzymes left and am having the worst case of diarrhea that I could have, which does happen from antibiotics, I'm going to finish them. And at this point in time, I am going to turn the story, because I'm done, okay? I'm feeling better today, at least as far as the, yeah, I am feeling better. My throat's a little sore, and so I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to turn this over to the pathophysiologist in the family, and she's going to talk about all this stuff. And also, she's going to go through what you would do if you were in the situation I found myself in, and you couldn't get to a doctor. And she's got a medical reference with her here, the outstanding... book.
Where There Is No Doctor. By David Werner, and Carol Thurman, and Jane Maxwell.
Outstanding Where There Is No Doctor.
And you can get it as a free PDF.
Yes. I recommend doing what it takes. Order a copy of this book. You can get it as a PDF, but, you know, PDFs and electronics and all that kind of stuff. Book is something you can grab with the powers out, whatever.
When Salty asked me this morning, I mentioned this book. Can you get a hold of it? We've got a copy. Do you know where it is? Well, yeah, within 5 feet. And it took me about 2 minutes to lay my hand on it.
Right.
That's about where it ought to be, because that's where you're going to need it if you need it.
May I give one more diversion? Salty's rule. If you have stop bleeding stuff, don't bury it in a pile of other stuff. Because you need to be able to get to that now without having to dig through stuff and bleed over all of your property. Just a caveat. That's the one thing that I get frustrated about. It's like, okay, I'm cut, I'm bleeding all over everything, and We've got 18 cases of pop on top of the anti-bleeding stuff.
We actually have anti-bleeding stuff that is one open drawer away. You just haven't figured out which drawer.
So there we are. Do we see what's going on? Are we relating here? Can we see the where this is going?
Yeah, the emergency bleeding stuff is right nice and handy, but apparently hasn't
I have no idea
it
where
yet.
It is. So, there yeah. we are.
So, okay, I am not a physician, but I teach things related to human health for a living. I teach pathophysiology and stuff like that.
Okey
so
gook.
I'm not clueless okey on the subject.
Gook.
And as soon as he described to me his symptoms, I knew it was UTI. They're dead common. I know women who've had 30 of the things. They're not as common in men under the age of 60, but
they are fairly common. I mean, it's
common enough.
It's
yeah.
not a 1 in 2 million type thing.
No, there's a bunch of microbes on your surface who would love to make a living up there in your nice warm self if they could manage it, and they can crawl up the urinary tract. Honestly, it's a shorter climb in females, and that's why we're the more likely to get urinary tract infections. But guys do get them, because some microbes just are good at going for long walks. So you get the infections. They're fairly common. A lot of them will self-resolve if untreated, but some of them won't. Some of them will kill you if untreated. So he describes the burning sensation. I'm almost certain it's a UTI from the start. Okay, let the roads clear up a little bit. Go get you taken care of, because there's no reason to play around with it. And when he came back half an hour later and told me it was much worse and invited me to check out the problem, well, okay. Then
and
I was actually concerned, but he was already on his way out, so I didn't tell him how concerned I was.
I mean, you got to admit, it was not something you were happy with.
No, I was not happy with it, and I would have initiated treatment by myself, even though I am not a qualified medical provider. If we had not had access to any qualified medical provider, I would have jumped in at this point. Because I found the picture alarming enough
yeah,
to
now,
do that.
What we mean by that is we will always go to a qualified medical provider if they're available.
I do not mistake my knowing some things about the subject to being an actual physician
and,
or other prescriber. It's
and if they are available level. Does not mean, oh, well, yeah, it's Saturday night, you know, it's 6 o'clock. I don't know. They're still available.
Yeah.
If they're not available means we're hiking in the middle of the Rockies and we're a day away.
Can't get there, can't reach them on the phone. That's, you know, cannot contact
or
them.
They're just not there.
Yeah.
There's nobody, there's, you know, there's no way to get to town because
yeah, if
there's
you
no
live
way
in
to
city,
get to
that's
town.
Probably not a thing, but some places we go, that's a thing.
Or, you know, if there's social unrest in the and you can't get through it, you know.
So I was thinking, all right. If he couldn't have gotten to urgent care today, if this had been an inch of ice on the roads instead, what would I have done? Well, then I would have called a real provider and gotten better advice on what to do. Now we'll go a more severe expression and say, okay, I can't get a hold of anybody who has been specifically trained in how to handle this. Then what do I do? Then I pull out this where there is no doctor. And if I hadn't known it was a UTI already, which I pretty much did, I would have used this book. And it would have given me a very good indication that it was a urinary tract infection. Problems with the urinary tract. Oh, here's what you could have. And here's the most common one. And here's the signs. And hey, look, they match exactly what Salty was experiencing. That would have gotten me there. And then it's got this advice. What do you do about it? First, you start drinking a lot of water because his immune system was already fighting it. That's what the mucus was about. If you can help it by flushing those suckers out faster than they can replicate, your immune system can often get ahead of it and get rid of it. So that was the idea of the drinking a lot of water. His first inclination was, I'm having trouble peeing, I shouldn't do that, and build up pressure. And I'm like, so he said, you really want me to keep drinking and having to go more often? And I'm like, yes. And that was what that was about. And then, if the person does not get better by drinking a lot of water, if you have a fever, and then the doctor who did write this book starts talking about what drugs they should take, and later on in the book, they've got dosage amounts and information like that on it. So, and then it's got a second line drug. If these don't work, try this other one that's harder to get and more expensive. And it's got dosing information for that. So this is the kind of resource that can really help you deal with this sort of situation if something comes up very suddenly. Now, UTIs do not generally jump from no symptoms specific to a UTI to raging monster UTI in 12 hours. that's highly unusual. The physician he saw thought it was highly unusual as well, so this isn't just me talking. Usually you've got more warning, but if something like that does come up on you, you have the kind of tools, then you are prepared to deal with that. Am I qualified to prescribe antibiotics? No, and I never expect to do it, and I hope to never do it. But nevertheless, I've got this nice little book that lets me know if I do have to make hard decisions like that, or risk having somebody I care about just die on me, I've got a little bit of information to go on.
Now, since I know I am not allergic to one of the antibiotics that this book says, and I do have in our preps some of that antibiotic, and I admit it's a fish antibiotic.
In case our fish gets sick.
It's a fish thing. This is something we do not recommend that you do. But we have it ourselves. I'm not going to recommend somebody take an antibiotic that is not specifically designed for human.
I think more harm has been done by a very long shot in people self-prescribing when they should not than the reverse.
Right. And I'm just not going to do that. What I am going to say is I'm not going to be a hypocrite and sit here and tell you I wouldn't do it if my life is on the line and I don't have any other choice. I'm going to do it because I've got some research here that says this type of antibiotic is the appropriate thing to take for this thing. The kicker is I went to a urgent care place that ran tests on my urine. And they could see these two lines, boom, boom. This is a biotic. This is bacteria.
It's bacterial. You have nitrites high, you have leukocytes high.
So taking if it's a viral thing or if it's a fungal thing, taking antibiotics is not going to help you a bit. And taking,
first thing he recommends is does work against fungi.
Oh, well,
first thing the doctor works, does work
against
fungi.
But does no thing against viruses.
Not a thing against viruses.
Really about what you're going to do.
But it doesn't hurt against viruses any more than the side effects of the drug, any more than the risks of the side effects of the drug. Here's the thing, though. If you are going to do something like this, do your best, be equipped to know how to do it right. Have the information, have looked through the book, know how it's set up, know how to use it, have it close to hand, and be equipped to do it right. Don't just say, well, I've got this thing in my prep, so I am ready to deal with the situation. You're not. The information is at least as important as the medications.
And you need all the information. For example, this will tell you what type of, Cipro?
Cipro is the second-line drug.
Okay, Cipro. Well, we have Cipro. It will tell you the Cipro, but what it won't tell you is how much Cipro, how long to take it. Because with antibiotics, we'll come back to this and we'll pound this home and pound it home. You have to finish the course of antibiotics. Once you start it, you take one, you've got to finish the full course. No matter how you're feeling, you have to finish it. Because if you don't, this is where antibiotic resistant stuff gets into your system. And that's a bad thing. And the book has some information on that. So this is why this resource is so available.
Yeah.
So,
I just opened to a page in the back where it says medicines. Oh, here's some penicillin. If you've got 250 milligram tablets, here's the amount we recommend you have in your medical kit. Here is the page you go to see how much you should give and on what schedule and for what kinds of disorders. So if you're going to have the penicillin, which we don't because I'm allergic, if you're going to have the penicillin, you absolutely also need to have the information on how to use the penicillin. And it needs to be handy, and you need to know how to access the information promptly when you need it.
And you cannot be a, economical prepper. You're feeling better. Okay. Yeah, well, you're supposed to take 8 more pills, but that's really going to cut into my supply. I think I'm going to stop here. You can't. Uh-oh. You know what that is? That's my little reminder. It's time to take my pill.
It's actually not time for another hour because I gave it to
you. Well, okay, then I'll have to adjust my time.
Yeah.
But that's my little timer that I set up so that I don't forget to take my my pill.
If you were in a survival situation, shaving the antibiotics might be a necessary thing. But if you do it when you don't absolutely have to do it, you are shooting yourself in the feet. And it's not going to get you out of combat. It's just going to make you limp a lot. You're doing yourself harm. And you're possibly doing the people around you harm. If you shave antibiotic use when you don't have a very strong, compelling reason to have to do that.
And it should be a strong, compelling reason. Like if you have 90 of the things and you're using them half of them, well, you know.
And you have no clear timeline for when you'll ever be able to get more. Yeah.
Right.
So here was the deal. We came into a situation. We were able to deal with it using modern medicine and trained providers, which is absolutely the best option. But if you're going to have to deal with that sort of stuff, know how to deal with it as well as have the physical things on hand to be able to deal with it.
Okay. Time to stick a fork in it.
I'm done.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.